Not easy, that's all I can tell you. I'm suffering. I after Shabbos I heard the news. They're choosing the Arabs over the Haredim. And do you follow? It's beyond words, beyond words. And Gantz, he's a product of Satmar. His whole family is Satmar, his whole background, his parents, he's knifing. Beyond words. But right. That's why we need Effie and Ellie here. It's every Jew who comes is another vote. Ben-Gurion made a big mistake. If I would have been Ben-Gurion, I would have established a limited democracy. The only people who can vote are people who eat chazer on Yom Kippur. Okay? But Baruch Hashem, it's a democracy. But look where we're at with the democracy and everything. All right. You have to have the attitude. First of all, I davened with more kavanah this morning than ever. That's a very bad sign. My malshinim took 4 or 5 minutes, so that's a bad sign. Hashiva shavtenu kirishona took 10 minutes. That's a bad sign. And the Eibishter, I don't want to say this in front of Yomo, he's not here. The Eibishter will survive, but it hurts to see what's going on. All right, today is Sunday, November 17th, 2019, and I say hello to the wonderful students in front of me and to the many listening across the wide context of Jewish existence today. I want to dedicate, we just had two yard sites. And these are two people, one I knew very well, one I knew a little less, but knew him quite well too. That's Reb Meir Kahana and Reb Shlomo Lekalbach. And these were people who moved the world. It's part of the generation that came to life right immediately after the Holocaust. There's Rebbetzin Jungreis, Esther Jungreis. And they had a desire to change the world. They, to a certain degree, they did. Meir, you should know, it hurts me, everyone just sees the blackened Meir. He was a wonderful madrich, he was very inspirational, very charismatic. He had two tragedies in his life that affected his thinking. One was that five of his relatives were killed by Arabs in 1935. Coming back from a family simcha, going up to Tzfat, and you know, to be raised under the shadow. He was a little kid at the time; he was a few years old. But to be raised under the shadow, five relatives killed, murdered by the Arabs. So that literally that plays a big role in his thinking. The second part I don't want to go into detail, but I refer you to Washington, the Howard Beach fiasco. The New York Times reached the same conclusion as Aaron Rakefet. I lived it. They researched it. But when the Balabatim threw him out for putting in a mechitzah in the Shul Eliot, Meir reached the conclusion he's right and you can't deal with anyone else. And unfortunately, life is not like that. You can be right, but you have to deal with reality and other people. Shlomo Lekalbach, everyone is asking, he was an interesting character, very close to Divi Hartman. By the way, the first time I met him in person was at the Brit of Divi Hartman's son, Daniel. It's ancient history already, but I see it, I live it, it's right before my eyes. There's Shlomo with the guitar, and there's Divi, and there's Nassim Lobel sitting there, and I'm a little kid sitting there. And they're winking at each other, and Schleimler entertains. And of course, the question everyone is asking about Schleimler Kalbach is how can it be that during his lifetime, Reb Menashe Klein Asad hearing his music? Reb Moshe was asked, then he wrote a tshuva, right, but the Yevet, if he wrote it, will he still kasher, use his music, if not, not? And after his death, wherever you go, Haredim, Hasidim, Litvakim, Yekes, Zionist, non-Zionist, everyone in the world, the Kalbach, Shabbos, Shem Dava. And everyone asks this question. I think the answer is very simple, in my humble opinion at least, because I knew him well. I knew him well. I see him right in front of my eyes. We interacted and quite a few times. You see, when you transgress the halacha, you put yourself chutz l'tchum. And it's very hard to justify. All right, Dovi Hartman didn't just transgress the halacha, he changed the whole concept of Yiddishkeit. Yitz Greenberg didn't just transgress halacha, he changed the concept of Yiddishkeit. Shlomo Kalbach didn't change anything, but in his own life, there were many shortcomings, particularly touching women. Now, during his life, no one made the charges that have been made after his death, so I don't know whether we can accept them or dismiss them. But the fact is, Shlomo Kalbach, while alive, here he is kissing, hugging, everyone is a Jewish soul, but that's not, you can't live like that, that's not Torah. I taught women for 31 years, I taught thousands upon thousands and thousands of women. God forbid you should start hugging your students, and I'm only encouraging them and I'm giving them a yashar koach. That's not Torah. Torah has a lifestyle. Now that Shlomo is not alive, it's very easy to be a sort of his, because you only hear the music, you don't see the infractions. Okay, that's the way I view it. I may be right, I may be wrong, but that's the way you understand it. I also want to mention Jack. Recorded for me someone talking about the Amshin of a Rebbe and another miracle he performed. I can only tell you the story I know about the Jew coming in from Tel Aviv on Shabbos is a story I heard in 1971 when I started teaching at Michlala, the original building on Rehov. I may have been Torah V'Avoda, the name of the street. I forget already. It was a Bayit Vagan. Is there a street? So that's what it was. It was a building built for apartments, and the Chalat took it over. It's before the beautiful campus was built. And I used to drive there early and daven at the Amshinava. That's why I caught Shachris. It was around the corner. And that's why I heard the story. So these two stories don't contradict. They're just at different times in his life. Okay. Finally, you asked me about Solomon Goldman. Did he do any good? He was a big Zionist, and he loved Hebrew, and he was a brilliant person. So on that level, he was not reformed, but halachically, we'll get back to him tomorrow. Now, I got an email from Rabbi Grinstein. En route to Vancouver, I'm listening to Yeshia. So, you know, I mentioned the sukkah and the reform shul, that they build the sukkah inside the shul. So he tells a story, quoting Rabbi Heschel Schechter. Rabbi Heschel Schechter says that as a kid, his father was a rabbi in an Orthodox shul in Philadelphia, and there was a reform shul with both an Orthodox prax rabbi and a chazan from Europe. The rabbi then retired, and they took a young whippersnapper from reform that the old European chazan didn't like. One sukkah, he came to Rabbi Schechter's father, and here is the interaction. In the chazan's attempt to get the rabbi, he asked Rabbi Melech Schechter, what happens if the sukkah is built by a guy? And Rabbi Schechter says, I walked by the synagogue, I didn't see any sukkah. And then they found out the sukkah was built by a guy on the bima of the Reformed temple. So again, it just certifies what I told you. One of my great shocks in 1969, my first year in Israel, living here as a citizen 50 plus years ago, my big shock, you walk around Israel, sukkahs are built under on a terrace, on a mifkeset, under a terrace. And people explain to me, these are traditional Jews who don't really know the halakha, but you know, you have to have a sukkah. So they build some sort of sukkah on sukkahs. Today you don't see it. Today there's much more wider understanding of halakha. And that's a cute story, that it wasn't only it wasn't only built by a guy, but it's built in the shul. By the way, you should know, in Machon Gold, it may be 71, 72, I noticed the Arabs who cleaned the building were putting up the sukkah, including the schach. They knew exactly what to do. You couldn't teach them. So I told the dean of Machon Gold, Rabbi Shlomo Tal, is a big Talmud Chacham. He got so upset. So we went down together. We didn't want to embarrass the Arabs, but we lifted off the schach and put it on again. But I told them in the future, tell them in advance that to leave it for the Jews, that they have to get the mitzvah. All right. And finally, with the story I told you on the Rav staying at RCA and the Friday night Kiddush, so the Rav comes in and he looks at the table and it's all set with food and he orders them, take it off, clear it off. So the version I heard, I wasn't there, but the version I heard was that they took off the food, they put it on the chair, and everyone looked at the rug. The waiters were all Cubans, Puerto Ricans, Caribbeans. It was not Jewish waiters anymore. In the 40s, 50s, 60s, Jewish kids had to make an extra buck. They were waiters, maitre d's, etc. By the 70s, it was not for Jewish boys. They were all doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs. So that's the version I heard. So Rav Heschel Shechter publishes the same story, Pinyanei HaRav, page 69. And the grandson of Manny Holzer, my dear Talmud Eitan, tells the story. Again, I don't know, it's not the version I heard. The version I heard is everyone took off and put on the chairs. The version he tells is the Rav said, tell them to clear it off, tell them to take it away. And the waiters were hesitant, they worked so hard, suddenly they have to do it again. So one of the rabbis said to them, after the Sabbath, you're getting $10. For $10, they said they referred, and he whispered, the $10 says you clear the table. And they immediately did. And then Yoshua Greenstein writes in parentheses, $10 went a lot further back then. Finally, Jack sent me a quote from the diary of Samuel Pipps, who in 1663 visited the first synagogue, and he describes, it's crazy, they're dancing, they're shaking, there's no order, it's a madhouse. This was Simchas Torah, no two ways about it. But it's an important document, because you see from there that all the idiocy that goes on a shul, on Simchas Torah, that gets Rakefet sick. And my grandchildren started honoring me 10 years ago. We make our own private minyan, Simchas Torah, by invitation only. Kenny Brander comes every year. A few smart Alex come and join us. We start at 6 o'clock. By 8:15, we're making Kiddush. We did everything. Seven Akafet and everyone, we split into two Kriyat. Everyone has an Aliyah. But Simchas Torah, you gotta go home and learn Shas and Paiskim. What kind of Simcha is to dance and get drunk? But I'm a Litvak. Don't, please, Rafi, don't get excited. I'm a Litvak. I come from a different world, a different generation. But that's all it can be, a Simchas Torah. But Yitzchak, you see why the document is important? That during Samuel Pipp's time, when is it? Back in 1663, Ribbono Shel Olam, they were observing as we are. Okay, now let's get down to work, a very interesting topic. As you know, last week we spoke about horse racing, and it's very fascinating how Rav Menashe Klein, living in Borough Park, knew all about horse racing, the horses, the names, the English, but all right, I'm not choshish, he went to a racetrack, but all right, maybe he saw it on television, it's not, maybe someone showed him a video, a movie, but this is a serious question. The outside world, how it affects us, and the gambling, and where do you draw the line, and tell me, what's the stock market? What's the stock market? You get a tip on a stock, guy puts in $1,000, and within a week it's worth $50. All right, this is an endless question. Asmachta lokanya, asmachta, is it asmachta? Eina osek b'yishuv shalolam. All right, a stock market, you can make the case that it helps economy, it helps the people, it helps the country, alright, there's something to be said for it. I met Jews cursing mad that the Satmaruv is coming in shortly. I said, what are you cursing? An anti-Zionist, an anti-this. Someone from England wrote a long letter documenting every anti-Israel statement the Satmar Ruv Reb Zalman made. It turns out he's more extreme than most of the PLO. How do you let him into Israel? And Rakefa says, plain and simple, there's nothing better than the Satmar Ruv coming to Israel. Steve, do you know why? He distributes millions and millions of dollars. It goes into the economy. What? Was kann sein schlecht? Millions of dollars float into the economy. Chinam ein kesef. You're not going to change him, but all right. I don't want to use the expression in Yiddish. Jevers retter Yiddish versteht ganz gut. Me nimmt der Haar vom der Haar. Versteht? Don't want to spell it out. Okay. So, it's an interesting question, but halacha lemaisa. This deals with leisure time, Yankee Stadium, City Field, if I have it right. And we live in dual culture, the State of Israel, soccer, everyone went crazy. I think there was a big soccer game last night against Poland without Chilul Shabbos, by the way. It was held very late, if I understand correctly. So, Baruch Hashem, no, Beitul Torah, and this haunts us. Where do we draw the line between normal existence and learning Torah? And again, you take it seriously, Gita Boyomim Velaila, how do we have a right to go to high school, to go to college? We struggle with this. The whole State of Israel struggles. Lakewood, Yeshiva University, Teira Vadas, Chaim Berlin, Panovich, where do you draw the line? And you're running a state. I have a lot to say on this topic, but we'll leave it. I'll give you a public talk. I don't have a date yet. I made a commitment, but I have to give them a date in memory of Max and Jenny Wild. Torum Derech Eretz, Germany, United States, and Israel. But these questions are not black and white. Halacha l'maisa, I think the answer always has to be who the individual is. And someone is cut out to be a Rav, to be a Talmud Chacham, to be a Rebbe, Adarabba v'Adarabba. And someone's cut out to be a master medical doctor, a surgeon, to do research. All right. But everything, you can't ignore Talmud Torah. It has to fit into the schedule. Now, I want to touch upon a different problem, which leads to the end of what I said last week. Some of you may recall, I was hysterical how we fail as mechanchim to educate people what Torah is about. And all of us, the average kid, lo aleinu, to a certain degree in the United States, to a lesser degree here, the average kid who observes Torah, Shabbos, Kashrut, Taret, Mishpacha, does everything right, is no more than half a Jew. He's a Protestant Jew, call it a Western Jew, an enlightened Jew, but he's not a total Jew. And that's because Judaism is a system that's very different than any other religion in the world. This is why we're hated. This is why one understands us. We live on two levels, the individual and the community. And we have achrayat on both levels. And while we can be totally Shomer Shabbos, the minute we say very nicely, we don't care if people use a bus on Shabbos, that's their prerogative. They can do what they want. Freedom of choice, democracy. When buses run on Shabbos, it's no longer a Jewish state, and we bear responsibility. Am Yisrael, Kahal Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael, Adat Yisrael, everything that we spoke about, Korban Pesach, and there's much, much more we can talk about and quote, but this is axiomatic to being a Jew. Now, with this being said, I want to introduce an entire new halacha, an entire new question, and we'll see how it leads us into Reb Menashe Klein, and how it takes on a hue, a coloration, a configuration that we never dreamt about. When does Shabbat begin? Simple question. And I want to show you some very basic halacha. Each halacha you can spend hours where it comes from, but just I want to just set the stage for Reb Menashe Klein. Hilchat Shabbos, Or Chaim Simen Reish Samach Gimel, beginning with Siman Yud. Labal halachat gedolat kimin shlit neshel Shabbat, chal alav Shabbat v'nesa b'melacha. Wow. The minute a woman lights Shabbos candles, she is mekabelet Shabbat. Plain and simple. And the Baal Hilchat Gedolet goes even further. that when a woman lights Shabbos candles, mashlichot la'aretz ha'ptilan shebiyadan, shekidliku ba v'ein mechabot ota. Ah, listen. When she lights Shabbos candles, she throws the match away on the floor. She doesn't blow it out because she's already Shabbos stick. All right? My wife doesn't throw it on the floor. She throws it into the sink. But it's the same concept. So you mean to say the minute a woman lights Shabbos candles, it is Shabbos. All right? This is the Baal Hilcha Gedolah's opinion.
Shabbos for her or for Shabbos for the whole family?
We're going to touch it very soon. Savlanut, just let me go stage by stage. Now, this right away raises tremendous problems. What if the woman wants to go to the Kotel? She wants to go to the Kotel. She lit Shabbos candles. It's after the Plaka Mincha. There's still a full hour till sunset. And she wants to go to the Kotel. She wants to take a cab. What if the woman has to go to Mikvah Friday night? And while the mikvah's within walking distance, it's a bit of a walk. She wants to take a cab to the mikvah. Right or wrong? We can give many examples where you want to light Shabbos candles, and yet you want to be able to do one or two things before Shabbos. So the Yesh Omrim, She'im hi matneh kodem shembat lika, she'ina makabel Shabbat, ad she'yoma ha'chazan baruchu mo'il. And it could be she can make a tanai, and that tanai helps. And she says, although I'm lighting Shabbos candles, it's not going to be Shabbos until the Olam says baruchu. Halacha l'maisa, the Shulchan Aruch brings down, v'yesh cholkim al bal hilchat gedolat, and they say, look, a woman can light Shabbos candles, but this does not make Shabbos. Her Shabbos is dependent upon the Kahal davening Maariv. Alright, if that's the case, she's no different than a man. If she lights Shabbos candles and doesn't start Shabbos, she's no different than a man. Alright, so there are two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch. Halacha l'maisa, we are nohag that when a woman has to do malacha after lighting Shabbos candles, she makes a tanai. And that way we solve both shitot, both problems. We have the middle opinion, and it helps according to everyone. So generally speaking, when a lying woman lights Shabbos candles, it's Shabbos for her. If she has to do malacha, has to go to the kotel, has to go to mikvah, wants to go in a car, she makes a tanai, and the tanai is fine. Now, when is the kahal makabel Shabbos? Daven Maariv, daven Baruch Hu. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins uledidan. Kivin shechitchilu mizma shil yom haShabbat. When we start mizma shil yom haShabbat, haveke baruchu lididhu, that our mizma shil yom haShabbat is like the baruchu in the time of the Rishonim. And from that moment on, when you're davening, you have been mekabel Shabbat. What is this halacha? What does it mean? And here you have to have a little bit background. And I come back to an individual that may have been the greatest influence in my life, a Shanghai survivor, my 8th grade Rebbe, Reb Chenoch Fishman. And Reb Chenoch Fishman, did anyone know the Fishman family, know who I'm talking about, or it's ancient history already? All right, time moves on. It's ancient history. Elliot still remembers BMT on Rehova Babanel. Elliot, I hate to say, that dates you. You, my friend, have reached retirement age, plain and simple. Okay, but I'm honored by your presence. You make me almost 50 years, 50, 49 years and a half years younger. Gentlemen, what's going on here? So Rav Chanuch Fishman said to me, I have no regrets on anything I did as a young adult, except, Scotty, one thing. That when I learned in Mir, I never said the whole Kabbalah Shabbat. I learned Gemara. And I regret it. Now what is he saying? And here you have to understand the history of prayer. Originally, there was very little Kabbalah Shabbat. You find a trace in Masechet Shabbos, maybe Hayu Yotzim, Lechad Odin, Kalah, but one sentence. There was no real formulation. The period of the early Achronim, the Mekubalim, that's when the whole Kabbalat Shabbat developed. And as I've said many times, Rav Shlomo Alkabetz says, Lechad Odin, Lechad Kalah, is the last addition to the davening that everyone has accepted. Taimaniyim, Moroccans, Tangerians, Hasidim, Mitnagdim. But a wise Alec Yeshiva boy, who was a Litvak like Rakefet, thank God I, because of that little insight from Rav Chanuch Fishman, I draw the line. I daven, I sing, Lechadodi. Why shouldn't you? It's beautiful, it's magnificent. How can a Jew not sing Lechad Aldi Mikdash Melech Yemalucha Kumi Mitzolcha Chafecha Ravlach Shevet B'Yemech Abacha V'hu Yachamal Alayach Hamla, just to say those words, this is overwhelming. So you see, this didn't exist. At the time of Chazal, at the time of the Rishonim, when did Shabbat begin? Tfilat Marav. With Tfilat Marav, you welcome the night. It's nighttime already. You can't be Machalo Shabbos. We go and take it a step earlier. Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbat. And that's why Lachatchila, it's always better to daven at a minyan where you'll hit Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbat before sunset. Look at the clock. At times it'll be a minute before, 5 minutes before. There is a din of Tosefet Shabbos. But Mizmor Shir Yom HaShabbat is crucial. All right. Now, let's ask another question. What is Hadlakat Nerot Shabbat all about? Shalom Bayis, right or wrong? Shabbat, I'll tell you a quote from the Rav. This is before we had time clocks. I heard this from the Rav, must be the mid-50s. Before we had time clocks. Or the widespread use of time clocks. I don't have to tell you what Moshe says. He's not happy with time clocks. But the Rav once said, you judge a Jew if he's a cheapskate or not by the amount of lights he leaves on for Shabbat. And I have to tell you, when we came in Aliyah, the Vat that we used to say, you judge a Jew if he's a cheapskate or not, by the amount of time he leaves on the heating on Shabbat. You got to remember, in Israel, when we came 50 years ago, heating was not universal, it was very primitive yet, and you had electric heaters and time clocks, and the money was, it's not the Israel of today, where Baruch Hashem, we're all millionaires in Yerushalayim. But anyone who owns an apartment in Yerushalayim is a millionaire, no two ways about it. And even if you're in Beit El and own a dirah, it's not you're not a poor man anymore. So the Rav was right. What does that mean? Cheapskate? Why lights? Shalom bayis. Shalom bayis. I need not tell you. You come home a dark night and you get upstairs and you walk into your house. Shabbos, the lights are on. It's a machaya. It's wonderful. It's pleasant. So where do you light candles? Where's the chiyuv to light candles? Where? So you should know. The truth of the matter is, everything in the house where you light Lakavit Shabbos, you're being yodsei hadlakat neirat. It's not just the din or a halacha in the kitchen, in the eating area. The whole house, wherever you're going to walk, wherever you're going to go, you don't want to fall. You know, let me just tell you a little story. My dear friend, we grew up together. I talk about Reb Melech Shechta. I'm in their house again. Reb Melech, his wife, his daughter, his son. We grew up together. My brother was Reb Heschel. I mean, I'm calling him Reb Heschel in your honor. To me, he's Heshi. Understand? We grew up together. When we were kids, we didn't have titles. Ani and Heshi. So my brother was my brother, 2 years younger, was Heshi's Chavruta for endless years. So here I am at an OU convention, one of the guest speakers. It's, I think, 1996, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe 1994. It was after the Rav died and the Rebbe died, and I eulogized the Rav, and Rabbi Posner, Zichrono Livracha, eulogized the Rebbe. It was a very beautiful event. So Reb Heschel came out with a psak. The women shouldn't light candles. And I could see the women were very upset, including his own wife. What's pshat? The women shouldn't light candles? I understand what he was saying. That when you go to a hotel, they don't want you to light candles in the room because it's a sakana with the fire. So they make outside of the dining area all the women light candles. What does it have to do with Shalom Bayis? So what Reb Heschel meant is, I assume, I'm not adding to his psak, I'm just interpreting it. Not that the women shouldn't light candles, but those candles you light downstairs, you might as well be lighting in China from Mao Zedong to Dan Sahora. It has nothing to do with Shalom Bayis in your house. What you have to do is first put the lights on in your room, and then go downstairs and you light and you can make the bracha there, or better, make the bracha upstairs and then come downstairs. So you should feel good that you lit two candles like you've done every Friday night since you were 3 years of age. Arian, when did you start lighting candles? 3 years? 12 years? Or just married?
Married.
Oh my gosh, Chabad would not be happy with that. And Baruch Hashem, my wife, not Chabad, but just the girls. I told the class the story once. We were at a bar mitzvah in the Washington Hotel, and my three little daughters were lighting two little candles apiece after my wife left. And there was a Holocaust survivor there. He broke out in tears. He was overwhelmed. He was so happy to see that Yiddishkeit is continuing. So you should know the Rebbe was very smart. Later my daughters didn't light candles until they got married. But the Rebbe was very smart. The women, feminist movement, everything that happened, they're clamoring. We want to be like men. We want to put tefillin on. We want to read the Torah at the Kotel. The Rebbe gave them a mitzvah, which is their mitzvah. Every girl, 3 years old, 12 years old. Why not? Beautiful, beautiful. But this was Reb Heschel's psak. So ain hachinami. Dov, you're wondering why I'm doing all this? You'll see very shortly. So this is Reb Heschel's psak, and look into the Ramah here. The Ramah says, Ika hadlaka tluya b'neilet shemadlikin ala shulchan. The avolo b'shah ha-neilet shebabayet. V'tzarich laniach ha-neilet b'mokam shemadlikin. V'lo lahadlik b'mokam zeh. Ulahaniach b'makom acher. And what is the Ramah paskening him? That the main place to have the candles is where you're going to spend Friday night. Friday night, you spend at the table. That's the biggest important place. But you should know that even if you light in another place, if it's a place that you're not going to be on Shabbos, you're not Yotze. You can't light in some bedroom that really you don't need light at all, and then carry the candles into the kitchen before Shabbos. The bracha you made in the bedroom, that's not good. Hadlaka osa hamitzvah. Although it's not, this is not Hanukkah candles, we're not dealing here with a mitzvah, mitifrei sofrim, we're dealing here, right, with a minhag, minhag Yisrael, hadlakat neirat, the woman, two candles, but lachatchila, light them where you're eating. If you light them elsewhere, but let's say in the kitchen, and you also need light there, So then before Shabbos, you can carry them into the kitchen, because b'diavad, it's still a place that is chayav in neirat. You follow? But if you light in the bedroom, you're not yotzei the mitzvah. You can light in the kitchen, turn on all the other lights in the house. The truth of the matter is, turn on all the other lights before you light in the kitchen. And when you make a bracha, have in mind that it's for the candles and the entire house. All right? But if you light in a place where you're not chayef to, where there's no kiyim, where there's no shalom bayit, it's a bracha levatala. Fine. Beautiful. Beautiful. Now, let's do something else. Let's ask another question. When can I be Makabel Shabbos? When can I be Makabel Shabbos? When does Shabbos begin? Menachem, have you ever been to Russia during the summer?
11 o'clock.
It's unbelievable. No, you're going to start lighting candles a quarter to 11 and davening a quarter to 11 at night. Maybe you can do it before you're married. You're married, you have children. Ribbono shel Olam, what are we making Kiddush for Friday night? It's not like Rakefet faked out his children when I was rabbi in Maplewood and had two young daughters at the time, at the start at least. So at Leil HaSeder, we davened. I went to the old age home, made a seder. I remember I got paid $100 for two sederim. That was a fortune of money then. Wow. And then I came home and my wife and I made a seder. The kids were asleep. The next morning I made a third seder. So I wound up with sederim, a seder in the Talmud Torah, a mock seder, the sisterhood, a seder teaching them two sederim. Two sederim in the old age home, two sederim at home, and two sederim the next day for my children. So Baruch Hashem, I know a little bit about making a seder. Shabbos, when can you begin? All right, there's a din in Tosfot Shabbos. What that din is about, we'll talk about. We'll reach it later today or next week. But how? When can you begin the Tosfot Shabbos? Steve Ressler is a tzaddik. Rafi, he wants to begin Shabbos 9 o'clock Friday morning. He's all set. He did all this cooking and all this baking. Everything is set. Can you do it? Absolutely not. It's 9 o'clock Shabbos morning. It's Friday. It's not Shabbos. But from the Plag HaMincharan, you can already have Tosefet to Shabbat. That from that time on, it's already the start of sunset. Again, it's a big problem. When is sunset? When does sunset begin? Logically speaking, scientifically speaking, sunset begins midday at 12 noon. But all right, the real time, you see, it's already getting a little darker. You follow me, Ellie? So you can begin from Plag HaMincha on. Fine. So your Makabel Shabbos, Plag HaMincha on. We all daven early, right or wrong, during the summer, Minig America. When I started the first Plag HaMincha Minyan in Yerushalayim in 1973, people looked at me, Ashkenazim, they never heard of it. The Sfadim had it all the time. But we didn't have daylight savings until after the economic crisis. After the Yom Kippur War, if you lived it, you know what I'm talking about. Everything, there was no oil, we had to save money, had to save this, had to save that. The Arabs were choking the world, the price of oil skyrocketed. So you had to, number one, choose one day a week when you didn't use your car. You got a sticker from Jews, of course, chose Shabbos. It was a beautiful kachol, it was blue and white sticker. Shabbos, fine, you didn't use your car. But then Shabbos began earlier, daylight savings time. Began later, daylight savings. So I made the first minyan, maybe it was 74. Today, all over the place, wherever you go, the Anglos have early minyanim. Noon. Yom Kippur Shabbos. How does affect the rest of your family? How does affect the rest of your community? Well, let's take the reverse. Dov had a very busy day, and he's not ready to be Makabel Shabbos early. And in the building where you, in the shul where you dove, not the building where you live, but it's in the building, a few minutes away from where you live, They were ready with Makabel Shabbos. Everyone's coming out of the shul, wishing a good Shabbos, and there's Dove walking with his radio, catching up on the latest news, how many rockets have fallen. Wait a minute, what's going on here? When is Shabbat Chal? And here, very interesting. Im kadama yochid palela shabbat mi bedodjom chal olav shabbat vi asur vi asiyat malacha. Every Jew in the world has the right to be makabel Shabbos early. And the minute I'm makabel Shabbos early, I cannot do any work. Eli went to Minyan early, he's makabel Shabbos, and his wife is working on her master's thesis. Do you have a master's yet? So you're working on your PhD dissertation? Come on, let's not play games today. Without a bachelor's today is garnished. The master's is set. A little bit. But without a doctorate, ligging me in dread. Okay, D, dread, doctorate. So you're working on your doctorate. Your husband comes home, and he says to you, Ariane, how can you be writing? I'm a couple Shabbos, a Shabbos stick for me. Very interesting question. No, does the wife follow the husband? Interesting question. We'll come back to it. But it's a living example. You have a right as an individual, but the sun is still shining. It's Michael, it's still daylight. You are makabel Shabbos. You can't do malacha. But what about, wait a minute, go one halacha further. Hakahol kiblu, rov hakol kiblu on Shabbos. Hamiyut nimshachim acharehem al kohan. You're in a community. You're in a moshav. You're in a kibbutz. There's one shul. They daven. They were makabel Shabbos. You cannot be makabel Shabbos. Hayochid nikra acharei harov. What a halacha. Let's look at it a little bit deeper. Eli, where you come from, there's a big shul, Young Israel of Woodmere. Tinek, Effie, where you come from. Right, you're from Tinek. Sorry, Chicago. Got to keep track. Menachem can't give up. You daven in Young Israel. The minute you daven with day in and day out. Friday in and Friday out. And then Makabel Shabbos. And that Friday, you got home late. There was a traffic jam. Wait a minute. Can you still be Mechalo? Shabbos? Everyone else from your Kehila and Shabbos already. So we'll come back to that in 1 second. But what do we see from this halacha? I want to ask you a simple question. Am I an individual or aren't I an individual? What does my Shabbos have to do with the Kehila? I'm not Mechal of Shabbos. I'm not doing a sin. Yomo, sunset is 6:30. By 6:20, I will stop and desist from all chulin work. But that Friday I was busy. Couldn't help myself. We all know what happens on Friday. Rakepitz rule of the thumb. Rube Goldberg, Gedenkst, when anything goes wrong, it's going to go wrong on Friday. And I just got Shilas with Friday. Yitz, I want to tell you, I looked into Chelik Gimel, the latest edition. He's very hesitant to be matter anything because the Frigidaire today is infinitely different than the Frigidaire of 30 years ago. And he explains it's not just the light, it's all types of motors and fans and heating units, etc., etc. And he says only a guy, or a kid, b'diavad, but he doesn't want to be matter for an adult. Look into Chelik Gimel, exactly the source I gave you in the latest edition of Shmiru Chapter Gehulchata. But you're not going to be Mechalo Shabbos. I'm an individual. What do I care what my minion did at the Angizil of Woodman? What do I care what happened in Bnei Yeshur in Tina? What do I have to do with them this week? Do they interfere with the time I eat? Do they interfere with the restaurant I choose? Do they interfere with the type of tefillin I wear? You understand what I'm saying? Ribbono Shel Olam, here you see a trace of the heart of Yiddishkeit. We function on two levels, as an individual and as a member of the Kehila. Follow? We function on two levels. Baruch Shekivanti Ledat Gedolim. Last Friday, a week ago, 10 days ago now, Makor Rishon had an entire section devoted to Chinuch. A brilliant piece of work. The section begins with an interview with one of the greatest Jews of our era, Reb Chaim Drukman. I met Yitzhak, remember Chaimke? Used to come to the Rav Shira Shlich Bnei Akiva to North America. No one has done more for education, Chinuch Torani, than Chaim Drukman. You don't know what a debt we owe this man, should live and be well. And he's interviewed, and believe it or not, he's saying exactly what I said in class. Baruch Shekivanti, our greatest failure in Chinuch is that we have graduates of our educational system who see nothing wrong with buses running on Shabbos. They are totally lacking the concept of Am Yisrael, Kahal Yisrael, B'nei Yisrael. Their religion is what we call the Protestant Judaism. And that's not the heart of Yiddishkeit by far. God have mercy on us if we don't understand what Avodah Zarah means and what the results are. Chilul Shabbos is the Avodah Zarah of our generation. When you don't make Kiddush, it means you don't acknowledge there is a God, there is a Creator, there is someone above you. You have to answer to something, to someone. When you don't make Kiddush, it means you are God, you are the Creator, you are the boss, you answer to nobody. And if you understand what goes on in a pub on Friday night and see the youth that was raised here without any concept of Torah, you'll understand exactly what it means not to make Kiddush. But I'm not angry at them. I'm angry at myself and my machanchim and my colleagues that we have raised the generation that a kid can be a Shomer Shabbos and put on tefillin and not understand the heart of what it means being a Jew. So here you see that the Kehila was Makabel. You can't do Malacha. You're part of the Kehila, even if you didn't daven with them. No, let me just end off this part of the Shia. This Chaim Herbie raises a tremendous question. I meet Herbie Maltz every Friday night, walking to the early minyan in the Shtiblach, and in August, late August, I'm at the minyan, and Herbie is not there. Herbie Maltz, I know you since 1962. It's an amazing story of how he survived the Holocaust. The movie has been made about it, etc. Herbie's not there. This is your minion. You're davening there regularly. No? Let me ask Effie a question. Woodman, an early minion davening. You were late that week. You're like, whatever the reasons were. What's going on here? You just saw halacha. You, the individual, are bound by your minion. Gentlemen, look into the Mishnah Brura and you will see what saves us. This halacha only applies if there's one kehila, one minion. Then we're all part of the same kehila, we're all part of Bnei Yisrael. Effie is a member of the Angusiel of Woodmeth. Effie, how many minyanim are there on Shabbos? 13 minyanim in one tremendous building where you can get lost when you walk in. And if you don't want that minyan, you walk a few blocks, there's a breakaway. What's it called? Rabbi Weinberger, my student, the Eish HaKodesh. The one here, one there, a shtibble there, here. You go to West Hempstead, Baruch Hashem, you daven in the Shtiblach when Herb comes out of his apartment on Rehov Palmach. If he turns to the right, he has 2-3 shuls. If he turns to the left, he has another 2-3-4-5 shuls. Rebbeinu Shelaylim, when I walk out of my house, I can walk up the steps to one shul, walk up different steps to another shul, walk up the hill to a third shul. In the third shul already there are 2 minyanim. In the main shul that I daven in Shabbos, there are 3 minyanim. Every morning there are 4 minyanim. Ah, that saves us, because it's not a single kahal. But it could very well be, if you live in a kibbutz where there's 1 minyan, you're stuck. You live in a moshav where there's 1 minyan. You live in the Golan Heights where there's 1 minyan for this kibbutz. Could very well be that you are bound by what the minyan does. This is Am Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael. This is where you belong. Okay, so halacha l'maisa, very interesting. When can you light candles? Candles can be lit plug on. Is a woman mekabelet Shabbat? Generally speaking, when a woman lights candles, she's mekabelet Shabbat. However, if she makes a tanai, the tanai, l'dva mitzvah, going to the kotel, going to mikvah, ekvesh, she still has to heat up the chicken for Shabbat, has to arrange the soup, whatever. The tanai is good. The man, is he bound by his wife's lighting candles? No. The man is free until Mismashir Liyom HaShabbat. Is the wife bound by the man's davening early? We'll see the sources. That remains one of the interesting questions of modern times. Is a man bound by the kehila? If it's only 1 kehila, 1 minyan, he is absolutely bound by rov minyan ubinyan. If there's more than 1 kehila, Baruch Hashem, choice enables him to choose wisely. All right, now we come to the high point of today's shiur. This description of the question is one of a kind. It's life before your eyes. Tell me, what undermined the conservative movement? They say it themselves. When everyone moved to suburbia, you moved far away from a synagogue. Once you move far away, you can no longer walk to a synagogue. So they pressed the rabbis, and 3 rabbis, all from Orthodox backgrounds, all yeshiva graduates, among them Talmidei Chachamim, all 3 rabbis in the famous responsum, early 50s, permitted driving the shul on Shabbat. And of course, that was the breakdown of the conservative movement. Today, 70 years later, hard to believe what happened to the conservative movement. People always ask the question, where are they any different than the reform? And the answer is basically there is no difference today. Lo aleinu, that's the reality. Now, Orthodox shuls. Who needs a big Orthodox shul in Woodmere, in Teaneck? People live here, there, everywhere. Instead of one major institution, have a little shtibbel on every block. So, this is an interesting question. It's a sociological question, an economic question. But notice what has happened. In every community where you have Orthodox Jews, Friday night, sometimes Shabbos afternoon, people are tired. We don't want to walk so far. And you wind up having minyanim in homes, satellite minyanim. Right or wrong? Right or wrong? How did the Teaneck begin? Ellie, did you hear my shurim a number of years ago on how Teaneck began? It's a big conservative temple, Rabbi Judah Washer, Teaneck Jewish Center, Talmud Mufak, or Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik. So a number of families moved in. All right, they put up with mixed seating. They had no choice, they said. But everything else was Orthodox. The prayer book was Orthodox. The rabbi was Orthodox, right or wrong? And then two of the families, Kapitnikov and Manischewitz, said, we don't like this. We're not at home. It's wrong. It's wrong. There's no mechitza. And in the Kapitnikov living room began a Friday night. They had a Sefer Torah. The Manischewitzes supplied it. Began a private minyan. That private minyan later became B'nai Yeshurim. From B'nai Yeshurim, you have major synagogues, minor synagogues, Shtiblach Galar. Ah, watch this question. It's life before your eyes. Mishnah Halachat Reb Menashe Klein, Chelik Yud Chet. Menachem, will you drop by his synagogue in Borough Park and leave a note that there's a Rebbe in Yerushalayim who has devoted years to the Mishnah Halachat as a starting point?
Well, it's around the corner.
Around the corner. Beautiful, the Kever Rachel, the Kaitel, the Kaisel, as they say there, Baruch Hashem. And he has a son here, a shul here, so Baruch Hashem. The more here, the better. We need every Torah Jew. Simen Kuf Siman Kuf Samach Dalet. And he writes, he gets the question, the year is 1972, that it has to be the summertime, and a young man from the Kollel is made a minyan Kabbalat Shabbat in his kitchen, in his dining room. I shouldn't say kitchen, I'm talking like an Israeli who heard of dining rooms when I came in Aliyah. In his dining room. Okay. And when can the woman light candles? She can't light before the plug. And already before the plug, they're davening mincha, like we heard it, remember the shtiblach? Right before the plug, we daven mincha, and we start the chunarana. The truth is, she can start the chunarana, I don't want to ruin minyanim, but the truth is, she can start the chunarana before the plug too. Nishkefelech. Just miss Mishili, Yom HaShabbat, that you have to reach after the plug. You follow me, Scotty? Because then you're Makabel Shabbos. And you can't be Makabel Shabbos at 12 o'clock in the morning, at noon, 12 noon. So, they're in the living room. The living room is filled. The dining room, I should say. And the lady has to light candles. And she's embarrassed to come into a room where they're davening, where it's all men. I know, a woman can walk in for a minute, light candles, but it's not the halacha. She's embarrassed. My wife wouldn't walk into the room. My daughters wouldn't look into it. Not that I taught them anything that it's wrong, but this is their natural instinct. Ah, velo arach ara li ishto lekanes. All right. So if that's the case, let her wait till they finish davening. Well, they finished davening. Her husband was makabel Shabbat 35 minutes earlier. Mizma Shili Yom HaShabbat? How can she light candles then? Does she follow her husband? Doesn't she follow her husband? Wow. And he gets this question. Fabulous question. The story is beautiful. This is Shelet and Shuvat. Isaac, it brings life before your eyes. You follow? View it, the big living room. Dining room, again, I apologize. Maybe there's no living room at all. Maybe the dining room is the living room. The kitchen is not where they're eating. Haminik is always to light where they're eating, to light at the table. Some people light on the table. All right, they leave the tablecloth on. Other people light on a tray table on the side. But that's Haminik. And here they're davening. Maybe what you say is an answer. We'll get there. We'll get there. But the question, beautiful question. Wait till they finish. Wait till they finish. Her husband was already in Makabel Shabbos 40 minutes, 35 minutes earlier. Now, so he says, I've gotten this question many times. And what does it mean to be Makabel Shabbos earlier? What is the source? So here he shows two different reasons, and I want to show you a very interesting source. And I want to show you why I was born before my time. I had a student in Israeli Mechala. Her last name was Yaffa. And she showed me a Yichisbriv. How would you say that in English? A genealogical
document.
A Yichisbriv. She was a direct descendant, son after son, from the Baal Levushim, from Rav Mordechai Yaffo. Rav Mordechai Yaffo, as you may know, lived right after the Shulchan Aruch. And he was not happy with many of the Psakim in the Shulchan Aruch. And he wrote what's called Sefer Levushim. Mordechai Yatsa Bifnei HaMelech Bifush Malchut Chedet V'chuv Yagaman, etc. And each section he calls a different type of Levush. In Levush HaChua, on Hilchat Shabbos, he discusses Tosfat Shabbat. And look what I'm holding in front of me. In modern times, in Israel, they put out an edited edition of the Levush. When I had to learn the Levush, look into the Levush, you looked into a photographed edition, no punctuation, no sources, no discussion. This edition of the Levush, we have it downstairs. It is a pleasure to look at. And he brings one very strong opinion that Kabbalat Shabbat early is an individual matter. He views it as a nega, that it's a Maisa Tov. A person does a Maisa Tov. What's pshat a Maisa Tov? You don't chas v'chalila want to be Mechalel Shabbos. We all know what gezerat are mishmeret l'mishmati, a fence around the Torah. People don't start to realize the greatest part of Yiddishkeit that we observe is the Rabbanan, Gezerat. Basa b'chalav is a din d'oraita. Oaf b'chalav, turkey and chalav, chicken and chalav, me'ika hadin, din d'oraita. You can eat all the cheeseburger sandwiches in the world as long as it's cheese and turkey. Cheese and chicken. Only cheese and meat. But, chas v'chalila, we don't want you to sin. An ein ben yomo, everything we kasha, me'ika hadin, if it's not a ben yomo, you can eat, you can use the kalim. But it's a fence around the Torah. Shiva yamei nikiyim, the sheva nikiyim in Parat Mishpacha, is a gezeira benot Yisrael hechmiru al atzman, in case they might have been a zava gedola, so they count shiva nikiyim. A din the rabbanan. I mean, just think, Shabbos, muktzah. I don't think there's any halacha more prevalent than muktzah. It's the first thing you teach your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren when they're old enough. My grandchildren come to me or came to me when they were young. Today they're older than I am. But when they were young, they came to me with shailas. Can you play with this toy on Shabbos? Can you play with that toy? This toy lights up if you take out the battery. All these shailas, grandchildren, muktzah. How do you deal with it? Dinim de Rabbanan. So a person, min haktov, he's makabel Shabbos earlier. Nu, you all said hatarat nadarim. You nohag the minhag once, twice, three times. It's now a neder. You shenachakti v'lo amati b'li neder. Chayim, it's now a neder. It's now a neder. You have to keep on going. So it could very well be that the concept of Tosefet Shabbat is not a Torah concept. It's a result of a minhag tov, of a neder. Well, if that's the case, he's quoting the Levush, if that's the case, who made the neder? Eli made the neder. He's no hegdam minhag tov. His wife? What does she have to do with his personal neder? He can be Mekabel Shabbos, and she absolutely doesn't have to be Mekabel Shabbos early. The wife does not follow the husband. And this is the Levush that Talui Benidro, the Kiblo Alav Kedushat Shabbat, very, very fascinating. This will explain something else. Are you allowed to ask a Jew to work for you before Shabbat? You were Mekabel Shabbos, he was not. Are you allowed to ask him? What's the concept here? I'm walking home from the kollel. This actually happened. I've again told the story over the years. I'm walking with two grandsons, Roy and Yosef. Two grandsons. Remember it like yesterday. Today, between them, they have six children. They're much older. But, a car, we davened early, it's summertime. A car stops. And he says, Rebbe, let me give you a lift. He quotes the Rashba to me that I taught him. And he's right. Api halacha, I'm mekabel Shabbos early. I was mekabel. It's a personal matter. He can give me a lift. There's no concept of amira la'akam when it's a Jew. It's only weighed by one factor. Is it Shabbos for you? Is it Shabbos for him? For me, it's Shabbos. For him, it's not. He wants to give me a lift. What's wrong with taking a lift? All right, I can tell you where this happened. King David Street, right across the street from the Citadel Hotel. I told him, your lumbus is correct, but I don't think my grandchildren are old enough to appreciate the nuances of what we're saying. We will continue to walk. But you see, if it's an individual matter, my Kabbalat Shabbat does not affect my wife's Kabbalat Shabbat. All right? Very interesting. If, on the other hand, he brings other sources that, according, and you should know, on this level, the Levush, and it's a Tshuva Tarashpa, mesh together. It's absolutely fits together perfectly, individual, neder. For me, it's Shabbat. For him, it is not. Now, there's another opinion that Kabbalat Shabbat early, Tosfat Shabbat, is not a derabbanan, it's not a neder, it's not an individual concept. Every Jew in the world is chayev on Tosfat Shabbat. The reason is very simple. You all saw it in Rashi when the Pasuk Bereshit, Vayechu Hashemayim Va'aretz. How can you know the exact moment when Chol ends and Shabbat begins? The Ribbono Shel Olam, he can finish his work at the split second. But we Jews have to be Mekabel Shabbos earlier. We are only Basav Adam. Our clocks are not always synchronized. And we must be Mekabel Shabbos before sunset. Well, if that's the case, it's also each individual is Mekabel Shabbos when they're Mekabel Shabbos. 2 minutes before sunset, 5 minutes before sunset, a half hour before sunset, it could very well be then that a wife does not follow the husband. Kol yachid v'yachid does it when he wants. The eino nigra ze achazeh. And even according to the pshat of the Baal Hilchat Gedolah that we quoted, that when a wife lights candles, she's mekabelet Shabbat. It's when she wants. When she lights candles. When she decides, she is not nigreret after her husband. Alright? So, very, very interesting. No, if we take this further, so first of all, as far as the question that he's being asked, it could be that he has a simple answer, wait till they finish davening, and when they finish davening, she can light candles. Whether it's a neder or a Tosfat Shabbat is the oraita, but each one is an individual. On that level, we're different human beings. It's like any other mitzvah. Each one does it when they're ready. Can't force, coerce the other one. But then he's troubled. He's troubled by something. Describe the scene. The men in the house, the minion, the koilel yungalite, are all davening Kabbalat Shabbat, and the woman is in the kitchen, and she's busy, b'pniya, b'pana, b'pina acheret, isha yoshebet u'mabashalet osa sham lachat. They're all davening. They all will makabel Shabbos. And she's in a different corner of the room or the house. She's cooking, baking, doing every malacha under the sun. It's not right. Something troubles us. So, even though he can squeeze out a heta for chad to wait till they finish davening, he's not happy with it. And he comes up with a number of different etzot. Number one, perhaps tell the men, walk out. Let them leave the house. Let them leave the room. Let the lady go in and light the candles and make a bracha. Maybe that's a solution, maybe it's not. Tircha de Tzibura. What are we doing here? In, out, davening, not davening. Maybe it isn't the solution. Maybe we have a different solution. Let her light all the candles wherever people are going to be on Shabbat. And later, after davening, her husband will move some of the candles into the dining room. You see, this is what we discussed in the halacha. Hadlaka osa mitzvah. If that's the case, you lit the candles where people are going to be on Shabbat. There is shalom bayit. Lachatchila, we should leave them there. You're not allowed to move them. You certainly can't move them from a place that you can't, that in a bedroom, we're always going to be into a place where the candles belong. But if you lit them in places where candles belong and you made a bracha, alright, after the davening, the wife can't move it, it's muktza. But let the husband at a certain point bring the candles into the dining room. And that is his etza. V'acha hadlaka Yachnis habal hanerot lechada ha'ochel. And he says, leave candles where she lit and move some into the dining room. Now that's the way he treats it. Maybe there's another solution. Now, yes, Steve.
Shabbos is 6:04.
Right, right.
Why can't she light? And usually most shuls have, or even the house, have a minyan for mincha 10 minutes later.
No, no, one second. We're talking here an early minyan, where it's a plug minyan in the private house. And they're davening. They're in the living room. They're taking up the living room.
She doesn't want to start.
Right, she doesn't want to walk in. She's embarrassed
now
to walk in.
I understand that. If she would light candles, say the minyan was at 5:00 and she wants to light 5:05, she wouldn't have a problem, right?
If the minyan was 5, how can she light 5:05? They're davening in the room. Then she wouldn't have a problem. But it's talking where they began before the plug. She couldn't light before the plug.
No,
and they're in the middle of davening now. And that's her problem. And what is the solution? Very interesting. I don't have enough time, but let me at least introduce it. Tell me. Great. Ellie. What day of the week did you get married?
Tuesday.
Doesn't even remember. Ari, and it's a typical man. Do you remember your anniversaries at least?
Yes.
So far, so good. I have a problem. It's 60 years already. But, Baruch Hashem. Ellie, you got married on Tuesday. Is that Minhag Yisrael? Is that when Jews got married? No? Can anyone tell me what Minhag Yisrael was?
Friday
afternoon. Friday afternoon, you got married.
Wednesday, so you go to
Basin
on Thursday?
That's the Mishnah in Ketubah. That's the Sidney in Ketubah. Minhag Yisrael, at the time of the Achronim in Eastern Europe, we know that from the famous Tshuva HaRama, 125, Kuf Kaf Hei. The tshuva, you know what I'm talking about? It shows up in Shin Lametet in the Shulchan Aruch. The tshuva shamati kol acharai. I hear people murmuring and maledicting me that Moshe, the Rama speaking, did a terrible sin. He was mesada kedushin 10:00 at night when Shabbat began at 6:00. And the Bach has a very similar tshuva. It's in the Bach HaChadashot, I believe. Also, and what went wrong in those cases, the wedding has to be before, but it's the usual story that we all suffer from, men who held up the family, marriage was convenience, a deal, money, and he wasn't pleased with the amount of money until they could make a compromise. It was in night and the girl, the collar was already dressed and he didn't want to embarrass a Jewish lady. He was Masada Kedushin on Shabbos. He said it's only an Issa Derabbanan. And what the Yisur is Kenyan, or Shema Yiktabu. I can't go into the details now, but look up the Rama Kuf Kaf Hei. No, all the weddings were Friday afternoon. Why were the weddings Friday afternoon? Yeah, of course, very simple, because people were poor, and this way everyone can have a Sudat Shabbat. And it wasn't like during the week, who could, I also feel that way, during the week you eat a big suda, you say to yourself, what is this Shabbat, what's going on here? And here everyone can have a sudat Shabbat. So believe it or not, many women, the wedding began, and lo and behold, when the women finally realized it was time to light Shabbos candles, it was well past sunset. And you see, what do they do? What can the women do? Well past sunset. And one of the solutions, ask a Gentile to light for you. Could you imagine a Gentile is lighting, the woman is making the bracha, and she's Yotzei Hadlakat Neirat Shabbat, and a Gentile lighting. What kind of solution is this? But you see that there is a concept of shlichut, that even with a Gentile, where there's no concept of shlichut, there you don't need someone. It's not like a fresh of Tumut Maisrat, where you need someone who is a Jew, and there has to be a concept of shlichut, but with a Gentile doing it, it's just a concept. He has to light candles. All right? Candles have to be lit, I should say. It's not a din in, may I use brisket terminology, it's not a din in gavra, it's a din in chepsa. Candles have to be lit. So, if you ask a Gentile to light the candles, you yotzei, you make a bracha, candles are lit, shalom bayit. Well, if this is the case, it could very well be we have a solution that someone else, the husband, can light the candles, and the women can make the bracha, and you will solve the problem. The woman doesn't have to enter the room. It could very well be that the husband can light the candles, and the woman can come in after the whole davening is over, and then simply make a bracha, and she's not doing any iser at all. And you follow? You can have solutions where there's no iser malacha whatsoever. And this sugya goes back to the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham, it's a very fascinating Magen Avraham because it shows how widespread the minig was, weddings Friday afternoon. I was Masada Kedushin for a Talmud in the Kollel, John Fisher. He got married Friday morning. And I've been already to a number of weddings Friday morning. The wedding Friday afternoon, it doesn't catch on because people have to travel. We're not living in a close community. But in Europe, where you had a very close community where everyone lived on top of the other one, it was shyer. It made sense. You'll see this in the Magen Avraham to Siman Reish Samach Gimel, and it's in the Magen Avraham Sif Katan Yud Aleph. And here it's fascinating that when a woman lights candles, does the Magen Avraham speaking, Ra'ui shetipalel ha'isha b'shat ha'blaka sheyitein la'kadosh baruch hu banim zecharim me'irim b'torah. And a feminist today would be very upset with that. Banim zecharim me'irim b'torah. And what's wrong with the girls? And I would tell you, as a man of experience, women having daughters is better than having sons. I need not elaborate. A son is a son until he takes a wife. A daughter is a daughter for life. And believe me, without offending Ellie and Effie, there's a lot of truth to that. And yesh sidurim shekatav behem brachat l'neirot acha yitzia beit hakneset. But he paskins here, that's not ein lam run. Once they leave the shul, it's Shabbos already. But chupa b'yerev Shabbos, u'ma'achabad acha shekviyat hachama b'yishayned otzlan lekabel Shabbat lefnei chupa, oz tadlik haner b'li bracha kodem hachupa v'yachakach b'chashecha tifrosha dera al haneirot u'tavareich Otomali akum lahadlik acha chupa behima bareich. And wow. Interesting solutions. Light the candles before the men start davening. And then she'll make the bracha when they're finished, which is after the plag and before sunset. Or if it's after sunset, even an eitzet, and have akum light the candles. So you see, there's no halacha she must light. She must see to it that the candles are lit, and then she makes the bracha. To reiterate, very interesting. We're not finished. There's a little bit more to the Mishnah halachot, and then I want to see Rav Moshe Feinstein on this stool, this very same problem. But, and then we move on. We're sailing to Kiddush Havdalah, wine, whiskey, orange juice, tea, coffee. Also, life intermingles with responsive literature. You can't have life without response literature, and you can't have response literature without life. And what you see here is a new scene. It didn't exist before. Minyanim in private homes, when I was growing up, you never heard of it. Everyone lived in the Bronx, everyone lived in Manhattan, everyone lived in the Queens. High rises, people went to shul. The shul was 4, 3, 2, 1 block away from the house. Washington Avenue, was one shul after another. As I write in Washington, the shuls fought with each other. Enmity, oh, what went on? But when Roosevelt was campaigning for the fourth election in 1944, he drove through the Bronx, the whole motorcade. I remember it like yesterday. And the shuls got together and put up an eruv. And he stopped Washington Avenue literally right outside our shul. And we carried out a Torah for the menuvel to kiss. And the next day, Sunday, it was a front page picture on the Sunday Daily News, whatever it was called. There, the front page, the president kissing a Torah on Washington Avenue in the Bronx. No, Yitzchak, there's a different shaila to be asked. They took your picture on Shabbos. That shaila's also been asked. One time I was walking home from shul, and there was a car accident on Shabbos, and we stopped to look at the cars, the smack up, the police, whatever, the ambulance, and the Daily News photographer took our picture, the crowd. And we, Taka asked the shaila, did we anything wrong by stopping to watch? You'll see, it could be Reb Moshe deals with it. Someone asked the shaila, serious shaila. All right, Nu, what do you do here? The living room. Everyone is davening there. The poor woman is ashamed. The modesty, kvodat bat ha-melech panima. Tachaus, kick the men out. But no, her husband would be upset if she kicked the men out. The men, tiche the tzibura, we did you a favor, we come to daven. What are you doing? Very interesting. What is Kabbalah Shabbat? When does it begin? The kehila, the individual, the woman, the husband, the neda, the oraita, is it individual or you a couple tied together? What do you like? Does this look normal? The man is davening, the men will makabel Shabbos, and the woman is sitting in a corner playing with the microwave, playing with the oven, playing with the chalent and the Shabbos platter, the blech. No one knows what a blech is anymore, but I still have my blech. I don't have the heart to throw it out. I remember how much it cost 60 years ago. Ribbono shel Olam. Very interesting. And this Reb Menashe Klein, this is life, this is the modern world, this is the interaction. Now, I have a big surprise, a big, big surprise. Gather around, I want to show you a picture. Anyone recognize this picture? This is in the Beit Medrash of the Yeshiva, and these are three young men studying. And do you know who we see here in this picture? He's sitting right here in the room. This is Yitzchak Rubin. This is Yitzchak. Can you identify yourself? And this in the middle is your teacher. That's Professor Yisrael Levitz. And
which one?
Yeah, that's you. Hey, look, he can't even speak. Who is the Rebbe speaking to you? Look how you
think. They called him the Babe.
That was Rabbi Steinberg, Ephraim Steinberg.
The wrong thing to call him that. He was one of the finest people.
They called him the Babe.
And he was a Bal Masbir on the highest
level. He was a very good. He was a very good Malamin. No, Rebaron was known as the Babe. Rebaron was known as the Rebaron Lichtenstein because he had a round face like your face. It's the Babe, the Babe. Anyone want a copy of Yitzchak's picture?
Where'd you get this?
I have to thank you, Shrill Lovitz. Who's the third person?
Oh.
Okay, let's move on.
Wait a second, where do you see Lovitz?
That's Lovitz.
Really?
In the middle. What do you mean, really? That's you and that's him. Who's the third person?
I don't know.
Who's the third person? That's Rabbi Steinberg.
He was really a fine man.
Got to show that to Marco.
When I was in the Rav Shir and I didn't understand something, I would go to ask him.
Wow.
And
wow.
He would have picked time to explain.
This is for Yomo. Where's Yomo? God. Yomo. That's for Chaim. Okay. I wanted it. This is unbelievable. One second.
Which Chaim?
Maltz, that's for Herbie's grandson. One second. Let me work slowly and surely. This here, I don't know how they come up with this, but boy, every married man should blow this up and put it on his wall. A wise man once told his son, "My boy, when you accumulate the understanding to know why a pizza is made round, to be put into a square box, and is eaten in triangles, then, and only then, will you be able to understand women." Good or not? And tell me, does the Gemara say this? Doesn't the Gemara say, the Gemara in Shabbos, Nashim Am Bifnei Atzmam Hei? And I also got to tell you, I see today with all the marital problems, I don't know about in the Haredi world, but I think there too, in my world, the Tzini Dati world, there is so much being written, books and articles, looking to Makor Rishon, looking to the freebies every week, how to work out a happy marriage. And part of it is men are from Mars and women are from Venus. To understand the difference. And I love this, but this is just beautiful. I wish 60 years ago someone would have given me this to hang up, would have helped me understand life a lot better. I don't know if you're aware what's going on in baseball, that the teams are cheating on copying signals. And it's become it's the talk of all the newspapers today. In other words, you're allowed to cheat with your eyes. If I see a catcher giving a signal to the pitcher and I know what it is, I'm allowed to cheat and I can yell to the batter, "Watch out, it's a fastball. Watch out, you know, you have a cold. It's a Coke. Watch out, it's a ginger ale. You have a cold." But to cheat with mechanical matters, that is forbidden. And boy, the scandal is broken and it goes on and on and on. This is for Jack. Once he got me involved with Samuel Pipps, I wanted to find out who the heck Samuel Pipps is. Did you look? Did you know?
Wikipedia?
Yeah. You have it. If anyone wants it, all I can tell you is he was a brilliant guy, but it's amazing. Azam Nuvel, the way people lived, the way God, without Tarat Mishpacha, you are no more than an animal. That's all I can say. And here's a so-called an intelligent man, a diary, the history and whatnot, and a Zamenuvel, unbelievable. These are two articles. The Catholic Church is having real problems. As someone who grew up in a real good, my neighbor was one half Jewish, one half Irish, one half Italian. The Irish and Italians were all Catholics. I once got stuck in the elevator with my neighbor, a Catholic girl, and you should see the New York, the Bronx Post, was then a Bronx newspaper, had a whole article that a yeshiva boy and a Catholic school girl are stuck in the elevator. You follow? I think they even took our picture afterwards when they got us out of the elevator. So, boy, the Catholic Church, it's worse than Reformed Jews. You can't believe what's happening here. Catholic bishop elects defender of immigrants as first Hispanic president. He's the president of all the bishops, and he is fighting Trump tooth and nail. Let them all in. What will happen to conservative Catholicism that they're, what's going on now, anti-abortion, women not being ordained, and you have already from the church, allow abortions, allow women to be ordained, etc., etc. All right, that takes care of that. This is the women. This, if anyone will honor me, this is Pirkei Avot by Rav Yosef Mizrahi. I want to know if I'm off the wall. I feel this. Now I understand why they put him in Cherem, but I can't put him in Cherem because he made a Talmud of mine from Rav Avram Rachamim. But He is off the wall, in my opinion. He scares the hell out of you. He tells you, Dante's Inferno, how many pins they're going to put in you in Gehenna. That's the way you make people from? I don't know. I wouldn't try. Number one. Number two, he's oversexed. Ribbono shel Olam, I don't know. Maybe this is a result of the Haredi world that you can't publish pictures of women. To me, that's frightening. Ribbono shel Olam, you block out. I'm still suffering. The Chofetz Chaim's wife. You block out that picture? I don't know. I don't understand. I can't comprehend it. Okay, Yazo Bishop the Vivi Mo for the Vak Bishtova Yulasarchad. But I think he's oversexed. Wow. But tell me if I'm right or wrong. This is on Pirkei Avot. It's about 14 or something different Shayurim of him on Pirkei Avot. He has fabulous stories, very good insight, poor English. I wish he would speak his native language, Hebrew. But that's it. All right, and this... Oh, one second. This, if anyone has a wife that's an old-fashioned woman who would love to say tchinis, these are beautiful prayers. It's in honor of Keva Rachel Imenu. They gave it out. Beautiful prayers for all moments in life. But you have to have a neshama that your great-grandmother had. You understand? I don't know whether it exists in today, but maybe. And Yitzchak, where are you? I wanted Michael, I wanted a comment. He ran out. This book was authored by Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein. Write this down so you can tell him to tell his Rebbe, Rabbi Bernstein, that I was very moved by the quote on page 7. He quotes Rabbi Leib Hyman, who I don't believe is alive. I think he died recently. Rabbi Leib Hyman, he was a rabbi in Bayit Vagan. I have a very deep feeling of gratitude to him. When we came to Lakewood, we were a group of YU gangsters. So Rabbi Baron Cutler appointed Rabbi Leib Hyman to look after us. And he was a very wonderful individual. So it brought back a lot of memories, the quote of Rabbi Leib Hyman. I want to thank everyone for participating. Number one, let me just remind you about tomorrow. It's $36,000 to the IOU list, dollars linked to the shekel. You can't get in for nothing. Megan the Muggin, Muggin Javier, Dr. Wills for nothing is worth nothing, the Gemara Babatsia, but I never collect money, so don't be frightened. We're picking up just where we left off, Reb Lazer Silva and the cross-examination of in the hotel in New York with all the questions of who is Orthodox, the case in Cleveland. And then when I finish that out, I deal with what has happened. And then, again, a $36,000, the link deal to the history of the Jacksonville Jewish Center. And you won't believe who we meet again. And it's the story of America. And halavai, the big heads that are running this country and running the Jewish agency, they should only look at the facts where there's no Shabbat. The Jews do not remain Jews. Intermarriage, hitbolalut. It's unbelievable what we have, and it's black and white, and no one listens. Until we meet again in the Menachem, I want to thank you for coming. Until we meet again in health and happiness, Das Vedanya.
You want this back?
Yeah, that's I'm in the middle of reading it, but I just wanted him to tell him that I was very moved. He quotes Jack.
Is every time about Reb Lazer Silva from Parnell?
That's his grandson, Reb Byron Silva. That's his grandson.
I think so maybe someone else is wrong. Is there Reb Lazer Silva or Reb Yeshiva in Parnell?
No.
From Chicago.
It could be it's a great grandson. Anything is possible.
I've been in this classroom now 5 years. Every single Sunday and Monday when I hear the shiur, I actually had to be here to actually come and see. Beautiful. I wanted to tell you, I spent Shabbos with one of the Silverman sons. One of the Yosef Silverman sons. So I asked him about that Shabbos. So he remembers it, but he said it was actually a process of a year. There was a bris. Avram Yitzchaki, he was an actor who became from before.
Before him. I met him. He was a painter.
So he became from before.
Right.
And he was making a bris. And what's his name?
Urizel
was supposed to be coming for that bris. So the people who were involved asked Rabbi Yosef Zilberman to come to the bris. He wakes up in the morning. He had some fever. And his wife says to him, Dav's game. Because there was already the setup that he's going to meet Uri Zohar somehow.
Right.
And have a conversation with him. So, of course, they're standing by the bris and they introduce, this is Yosef Zilberman who helped. They have a conversation. And Rabbi Zilberman says to him, he says, I can be mechiach, and yesh bora olam. So he says, Uri Zohar answers something to the effect like, you don't know what real proof really means. So Rabbi Zilberman says to him, no problem, let me talk to you. If I'm chiyach to you, that is a Ribbono Shel Olam, you put on the yarmulke. If you're chiyach to me, there's no Ribbono Shel Olam, I'll take mine off. So that automatically gave him excited. They spent a few hours after the bris having a conversation. The actual process was about a year from the beginning to the end of when he became from. In the interim, his wife was, they were almost at the point of divorce. She started calling it Shari Gehenna, not Shari Chesed. Her husband's going to Shari Gehenna, but not Shari Chesed. But then ultimately, towards the end, right before they were going to get divorced, she came around.
Okay, I'm reporting from his book. In this book, that's not what they call it.
I spent Shabbos with his son, and he gave me, and he right. He's not going to give us a detail, but I, the son, who was, and this son's from the younger sons, and he, a bunch of his older brothers.